Is this thing on? Right.
Oh, and go. Oh, go time. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. So glad that you've decided to tune in. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate. You'll hear that again in a second because I'm about to introduce a special episode that was recorded a couple weeks ago. But before I get out into all of that, introductions in order. Yes, I'm Riley Blanton, host of this here podcast, and kind of doing the intro for this week. You're hearing, like, the cerebral sounds, the surrounding sounds of Fayetteville, Georgia. I'm in the downtown square, actually, between homework sessions, and I wanted to record this quick intro for this week's podcast. We got a couple things coming up for you. First of all, an interview kind of wrapping up our Dragon Con 2014 coverage. We've got an interview with Brandi Rotzi of the Star Wars track, and we interviewed her at the track, right outside, in fact, of the track room there in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Marriott Marquis, in the midst of it all, in the middle of Dragon Con. And that was a great experience. You'll hear that interview, us kind of experiencing the convention and what it's like. We got a few minutes of interview there, and then I'm jumping straight into a full-length episode that we recorded a couple weeks ago with contributor and writer for Star Wars Report, Mitchell Hannon, and he'll introduce himself in just a few minutes as far as that goes. But we had a great discussion. Again, the discussion was kind of surrounding the news of a few weeks ago, and it's hard to believe how quickly this stuff really just rolls by so fast, and it just even in the last month or two. Star Wars landscape just constantly keeps changing based on, you know, the environment and the new rumors. And it's like, when we recorded this, none of the new Greenham Common stuff had come out. So we've got a lot to talk about in the future. But for now, be sure to stay tuned for that coming up. But before we get into all that, I want to feature an email before we jump into the episode proper. Let me make sure I have it. This is from Matt Marks. And actually, he sent us a number of emails, and this is kind of going to start us off for this week. I'm just going to jump straight into the middle here, where he talks about Mark's comment about not having a, quote, title for the non-Legends books. He says, I understand the issue of differentiating between the Legends and non-Legends releases, but I think the idea is this. It's just all Star Wars. There's no Star Wars and Expanded Universe. It's just all Star Wars. And then there's those Legends books that don't necessarily, quote-unquote, count. But the norm will be, hey, here's a Star Wars book. It's part of the Star Wars story. Anyway, as for me, I'll continue to have my own canon unless something in Darth Plagueis, for instance, Darth Plagueis is directly contradicted. It still counts for me. That all happened, and that will be more difficult with the post-Return of the Jedi Legends stuff, obviously. But maybe that's maybe when the Death Star blew up, it split the space-time in two, creating two parallel universes. There. Fixed. May the Force be with you. Matt Marks. Hey, thanks for the email, Matt. You know, it's interesting because this has been kind of an ongoing discussion with us. It's one of those things where Mark's obviously way more passionate about it, and we'll have him back on next week. But it's one of those things where I like what you have to say. It's just all Star Wars. And it's funny because when you sent this email, this is before Dragon Con, but now post Dragon Con, if you go to the Star Wars Bookworms podcast, part of the Star Wars Report Network, there's audio of Timothy Zahn in one of the panels talking about how, in his mind, unless one of his works is directly contradicted, for him it still kind of is part of the story. It's just kind of a personal thing instead of like an official canon. So it's an interesting ongoing thing. We've got a lot of great emails that we're going to keep featuring throughout the coming weeks. And if you want to email us, it's starwarsreport@gmail.com. I just wanted to squeeze in a quick email and kind of update in the current time, Riley Blanton, Star Wars Report. I wanted to kind of feature that before I jump into today's episode proper. So again, without further ado, it is beginning Brandi's interview from the Star Wars track at Dragon Con 2014, and then jumping straight into the main episode proper afterwards. May the Force be with you, and keep it here at the Star Wars Report podcast.
Hey, this is J.C. Rivenberg, director of Hughes the Force, and you're listening to the Star Wars Report.
Peace. Cue the music. Wow, it's Sunday at Dragon Con, ladies and gentlemen. And Bethany and I are hanging out here at the atrium level of the Marriott Hotel, downtown Atlanta, as we have for the past 4 years now. And I'd like to welcome to the podcast, you guys heard her just a few weeks ago as you hear this, Brandi Rotsi. She's the track director for the Star Wars track at Dragon Con. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Brandi.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Oh, I can't believe it. What's so strange is that we're kind of doing coverage different this year a little bit, and we're experiencing more of the panels, doing a few more write-ups for the site, and we've been more intentional to kind of take that Star Wars experience to the next level, and we've been doing so many things. We saw the costume contest. We saw the Younglings Pod Race, all these great events that I heard so much, but I kept missing each year. And this is just an amazing event. Talk a little bit about how you think this year's Dragon Con has been, because it's kind of new for me, because I'm really getting to see the full picture of what you guys are doing here at the Star Wars track. So talk a little bit about the experience with the Star Wars track for us.
Yeah, you guys have kind of seen some of the behind the scenes of what goes on and how frantic it can be at times. But, I mean, I think it's gone pretty well. Mm-hmm. Everything's been pretty well attended. The Episode 7 panel, I don't even know that you all understood how many people we packed in there. The fire marshal, we probably could have gotten the whole place shut down.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was fabulous. And we turned probably 300 or 400 people away. So.
That's astounding. See, and you don't realize that because we had the privilege of being panelists on it, and you guys will hear audio of that very soon. But it's just one of those things that with this new era of fandom, you got a sense of it a little bit last year, but this year it seems to be taken to a whole new level.
Absolutely. I think the other thing is they're finding us no matter where we are, whether we're in the Hilton or the Hyatt and out of our Marriott home, people are still finding us. So, you know, yeah. Star Wars is huge and it's just going to get bigger, even if it's hard to get to our track room sometimes. So,
yeah, I just wanted to mention how excited I was to see how you guys had the room decorated. Sort of a Star Wars Rebels theme with Sabine's art decorations everywhere.
Yeah,
that was a really cool idea.
Well, thanks so much. I'm glad you liked it. We have a history of trying to always one-up ourselves every year. So the first year we ever decorated the room, unfortunately, we did Stormtroopers on vacation. We had a smaller room, so we tore it down every night and did a different planet every single day.
Oh, wow.
So that's just impossible. We can't do that anymore. We also, we programmed until the wee morning hours, so we just can't do that anymore. But, no, we were so excited with, you know, Art Attack and all of the concept art and all the teasers coming out for Rebels. And, I mean, we're, what, 30 days away or something like that.
I know, so. I know. The Star Wars Rebels panel was so much fun. And just to see a community over the past few years that have come together, some of us fan sites who are all just kind of, we come and do this experience and take it to that next level together. And I'm trying to think, I was thinking of what a favorite moment could be, and I couldn't think of one. So I feel bad in asking the question. So, Brandi, what's been your favorite moment so far? Do you have, like, a favorite panel or aspect to the convention specifically this weekend?
It was fun seeing all the Hawaiian shirts at the Alston and AC Crispin panel just now. But the pod race is always so much fun. I mean, it's so frantic, and we really, really rely on parental volunteers and anybody who's around really to help us clear the area and help the kids get their pod racers built. But it's so visual and the kids have such a good time, and we were scrambling frantically for boxes because we had way more kids than we thought we would. So, and it was the same thing with our sabers this morning. We had no idea we were going to have that many kids. So,
is that something you've kind of seen increased a little bit? It was like the presence of parents and bringing the whole family out to Dragon Con?
Absolutely. And we're seeing more people talking about it online.
Yeah.
And I think when we get Rebels, oh my gosh, we're going to be completely just overwhelmed with the amount of kids that are going to be at Dragon Con and at the Star Wars panels. And I actually was going through some of my old pictures, and I've got pictures of the what we call the super family, who are running our trivia contest right now as we speak.
As we speak, yes.
And the boys are so young because they've been coming for a really long time. So people are growing up in the Star Wars
track.
As we
walked out to start this interview, it was what was the home world of the Dugs? And I looked over at Bethany, and I was like, Malastare, I've got it, Malastare. But I was too scared to actually try to qualify. Maybe next year.
Yes, you definitely have to at least take the test. Yeah. I mean, it's evidently ridiculously difficult.
Evidently tough.
Yeah, and I think you're so right with the kids of Star Wars, how honestly how adorable they are. During the costume contest today, when I saw the really small Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, I probably took like 20 pictures of both of them because they were so adorable I couldn't resist.
Oh, yeah, they're so cute. And it's so fun to see the next generation, you know, families, all the whole families, the parents and the kids all love Star Wars. And,
yeah.
I mean, with the new movies coming out, I mean, we really are going to see just such a resurgence. I mean, we've never really hurt for people attending our panels, so they're going to have to give us a bigger room, pretty sure.
I was going to say, you won't hurt for people attending, but you will need a bigger room. But one thing you did this year for the first time was the Suits, Sinatra, and Star Wars party. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I completely underestimated the response that we would get for that. The whole time I was like, well, you know, I'll have a good time because I like this kind of music and just want to get dolled up. And I'll just sit there the whole time laughing about Fly Me to the Moon. That's no moon. So the response was kind of overwhelming. We were trying to frantically download and buy songs on iTunes to keep up with the demand.
Evidently. I saw some point during the evening, like down in the corner and at the booth, at the sound booth, like you had kind of taken upon DJ duties and were getting a whole new playlist, which is just because people were having such a good time and didn't want it to stop, which is so cool.
They really were. I like I said, I kind of envisioned kind of just a chill evening and let's just listen to good music. And evidently, there's a massive swing presence at Dragon Con, so we're going to work really hard.
That.
To accommodate that next year. So
but I loved having a party where, I mean, everybody knows that there are a lot of parties at Dragon Con, but this one was so classy, honestly. I love being able to dress up for it. All of the Star Wars Report staff dressed up for it, and we had fun, we danced, we talked. We all had a good time.
Oh, absolutely. And a shameless plug, if you're listening to the audio of this podcast and you've logged into your iTunes player, do yourself a service and head over to StarWarsReport.com because by the time we're posting this, we will have a complete gallery to share the entire experience. That was so cool. And it's one of those things where, you know, Dragon Con, if nothing else, really celebrates the sort of mashup culture and the way that nerd culture, geek culture has become popular culture. And that's so cool to see that. And so when you hear an idea like, let's Sinatra, Suits, Star, why not? You know, and it works so well. And that's kind of, I'd love to kind of, end the interview on that note, because in the table inside, you have a giant scroll and it says, please bring Lucasfilm to Dragon Con. And Dragon Con is such a celebration of diversity of fandom. And we've been to Celebration. We've been to Atlanta Comic Con, some of these other science fiction, fantasy conventions, and it's not the same. So I'd love to, it seems a shame for them to be missing out. So if you could kind of, I know that's kind of a two parts, but the culture of Dragon Con, how do you see that future, and what would you like to see as far as Lucasfilm's involvement in it?
Well, we'll take anything we can get from Lucasfilm, first and foremost. Now, I have to thank Matt Martin, who is the social media person for Lucasfilm. He threw together a box of goodies for us to give away, and our pod racers have loved it. Every kid's loved it. The patches have been everybody's loved it. So
that's so cool. Yeah.
Massive thanks to him and all the people at Lucasfilm who did send us that. And they've been here before, and they did send people to cover for StarWars.com, so we really appreciate that. But, Rebels is coming out in 30 days, 31 days, something like that. We're the last big thing before. So we really have to have them back next year for episode 7.
Absolutely.
We need you. We really need you. So.
Well, and I think that kind of presence would be certainly well appreciated. And that's not to say, I'll tell you what, Lucasfilm does support the convention. And I've talked to Matt before, and it's just so cool that that they are willing to put themselves out there and kind of see what's going on in the different fan communities. And I know that's got to be like a tough way to navigate these conventions because you've lived and breathed the Star Wars track for years here. And so it's so cool to hear the future. Now, I guess we'll close the interview with this. What would you like to see like in years future? Any big plans for Dragon Con 2015?
Well, I will say we've already started taking notes on things that we can do better and possible ideas for next year. But I mean, really and truly, my pie in the sky or whatever you'd like to call it, I'd love to see the big three. I don't know that it's ever going to happen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
But I mean, Carrie Fisher in and of herself, the most amazing person probably on the planet. She's very entertaining, so I'd love to have her back as far as an attainable goal. But I mean, I might die if Harrison Ford ever came to Dragon Con. So
Yes, we would have to make sure that you were there for the whole panel because you stay so busy while here. But I also just wanted to comment before closing out that you guys do a great job with bringing the Star Wars authors here to Dragon Con as well. I've loved the panels they've been on. Some people from our site, Aaron and Teresa, have moderated some of those. But I just wanted to say thank you guys for putting on the Appreciating Aaron Alston and A.C. Crispin panel because, I mean, that was touching and there were definitely, I don't think there were a set of dry eyes in the group, but that was fantastic. Thank you guys for doing that.
You're welcome. And thanks for all of your support and for always coming. And we're always looking for the next great idea. So, but yeah, that panel was everything we needed it to be. We laughed.
Absolutely.
We cried. It was a big group hug for everybody. And some of the shirts were very tacky.
Yes.
Mine probably being one of the loudest.
So. Yes. No, I'll tell you what, I'll just finish on this note. It just, what that panel represented is this community that's been built here at Dragon Con, and that's something that I wouldn't trade anywhere. I can't wait to go to Celebration next spring in April, but Dragon Con is my science fiction con home, and that's going to be the same for years to come. So, Brandy, thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate all of your hard work and for having us here at the convention.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me, and thanks for being a part of our Dragon Con family.
Oh, absolutely. Hello, welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate apologies. Apologies go to Andy Notko, who someday will hear one of these episodes and be like, why has this guy been using my opening line for forever? But it's so perfect because it is so true. This is a Star Wars podcast, an internet broadcast. So many people don't understand how this new media thing works, but you get to download this half hour to hour of audio content of Star Wars awesomeness and listen to it whenever you want. We're here for you. So again, I repeat, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. It's such a good line. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton, host of this here podcast and founder of StarWarsReport.com and co-founder, really, because I'm certainly not in this business alone. Someone who's been along with at my side right from the beginning and from the previous incarnation of the show. We've been podcasting nearly four years together. If this were college, we'd be about to graduate. It's Bethany Blanton, my sister.
I'm glad to be back on the show as always.
Oh, I'm Riley, by the way. Did I say that I was Riley?
Well,
darn it.
I don't know.
See, I get like, I remember we just interviewed, as we're recording this, we just talked to Jimmy Mac the other night. Now, of course, the release schedule is kind of going to be weird. But I realized I had set myself up for a perfect introduction. And then in a pseudo ADD moment, or at least my version of whatever that would look like, I just had like this brilliant introduction to myself and I just cut off right before I said my name, and I totally forgot. But no, hey, I'm Riley. Hey, that's Bethany.
Yes, yes.
Ah,
last name Blanton.
First name Riley, last name Blanton. What? All right, I'm stopping there.
Hey. So once we've hit 6 years, will we have our master's in Star Wars podcasting?
We are the true Jedi master. A Jedi master degree. Now I am the master's degree. Now, only two there are, the bachelor and the master degree. There's a joke in there somewhere, is what I'm trying to say. No, we got a lot to talk about. This episode's going to be primarily news commentary focused, and I'm so pleased to have a longtime friend of ours from the Star Wars fan world. We haven't had him on the show in too long, and we met back at, what, Celebration... I remember waving at an escalator to Mitchell Hannon. Hey, how's it going, Mitchell?
Hey, Riley. Thanks for having me.
When was that?
Here.
Do you remember that? You were above, and I was below, and we were riding an escalator, and I'd recognized you, so I believe we'd already met at that point, but the image that sticks in my mind is just, hey, and waving.
Hey, you guys are the Star Wars Report guys, right?
Yes, and we still don't have a t-shirt.
Yeah.
More on that in a moment.
But we got to go to the we sat together at the panel for the Star Wars Detours Seth Green show, which I'm still so bummed isn't happening, because while
right.
it had kind of mixed reviews when people just saw those isolated clips online, I tell you, anybody who was in the auditorium and saw the actual presentation with Seth Green and everybody involved, it was really exciting. It was really looking good to me.
There's so much built up anger at Lucasfilm from certain parts of the fan community that I just remember hearing some sites say, man, this is just a proof of how sucky Star Wars is and where it's going. And, you know, for better or for worse, when Disney bought it, they decided to cancel it. I say for worse. I definitely will miss not seeing that show. And seeing, what's his name, from Scrubs on stage. I forget.
Donald Faison.
Thank you, Donald Faison. And it looked like such a good show.
Know what it was? There was one thing they said in that panel that just had me 100% bought in and hooked. They talked about how the fact that Han and Chewie are best friends, but at the same time, Han kind of owns Chewie as a slave, and how they were going to really explore that dynamic, that one second they're best friends, but then the next second, well, when Han says it has to be a certain way, he owes him a life debt and he has to kind of do it that way. So I don't know. That would have been just so funny to just kind of see that kind of happen.
Pulling the life debt card. Yeah, but I would be remiss if
I love the bratty Princess Leia idea, the sort of, well, what happens before she kind of figures out life and politics and the fact that there's an evil, the Empire is evil and everything.
And that was Catherine Tabor, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was.
That was so cool. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's a good time. I will miss the fact of, I will miss the fact that we will probably never get to see it, and it will be a true tragedy, my friends, a true tragedy. But I'll tell you what, it was one of those things. Well, and I failed to mention. So we met at Celebration 5 or 6. Well, which was it? I can't for the life of me remember. Oh, Mitchell, are you with us? Let's see. Let's pause the recorder for a second. See if we can get Mitchell back here. Get this. There we go. There we go. Back on the air with Mitchell here. I was asking you about Celebration. And how we first met. I'm trying to remember the circumstances of, besides the escalator story, of how we first met.
Well, we were actually, if you'll recall, Riley, we were on an episode of Chris Hothite's Planet Show. Remember that?
Was this the trivia episode?
It was the trivia episode.
We did a top 5 favorite episodes of Clone Wars episode.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
I don't want to acknowledge that trivia episode. That
what
was like an embarrassing.
What,
I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm terrible at trivia.
I don't know what it is.
No, I'll tell you what. It's absolutely crazy. But I'm trying to remember. Yeah. Now, Mitchell, are you still with us?
I think that was the first time we spoke, and I met you guys there. We were going over our everybody had our top 5 favorite episodes of Clone Wars. Of course, my top 5 were the best 5.
Of course.
From that, I recognized you guys, and it was literally one of those, hey, you guys are the Star Wars Report, right? Yeah, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Now, the true question is, and I haven't actually talked to you about this off air, so here we go on the podcast. Will you be in Anaheim this April?
Well, I am 99% sure that I will be in Anaheim. I have my firstborn baby on the way in September. I think that should be long enough from September to May to get to Anaheim. If nothing else, I can play the birthday card it's actually the end of April, right? Either way, I can play the birthday card because it's right around my birthday. So
there
I think
go.
I'll be able to go.
I'll tell you. Just as long as you aren't pulling a life debt card or anything weird like that.
Might be worth it.
No, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a blast. I can't wait to see you there. We got to get some plans together. There's this podcast stage thing that the deadline to record, or as I like to call it, the scholarship application. Let's just get real for a second. Have you seen this, Mitchell?
No.
Okay, so they're doing it's a great idea. I love the concept. They're doing a podcast stage specifically for Star Wars podcasters at Celebration. They're opening it up. We mentioned it the other week, and I'm not sure whenever this is this podcast episode is published, there will not be a whole lot of time to still apply. But you apply and you can ask to get a slot to record your podcast live with, I think they'll have a nice facility and a place where you can have a live audience and everything. It's really cool. But I'll tell you, I was looking through it, and they're asking for, you know, names, addresses, confirming everyone's over 21, all that good stuff. Very standard fair stuff. And then, you know, they want all your social media links and see how many episodes into your podcast they are. That all makes sense. And then but then as you go down the list, it's like, and we'd like a 1,000-word summary of your podcast history, and then link to your 3 best podcasts. I think what they meant to say is your 3 best podcast episodes. Not podcast, but then you go further. And also, like, and we also need 1,000 words on your podcast positive influence in the Star Wars fan community. I was like, oh crap, I don't know about this. Oh my goodness!
In other words, are you excited about Disney? You can use our stage. Are you not excited about Disney? See,
what's funny is that this is where the podcast gets best, because Bethany's giving me this uncomfortable look. It's like, you can't crap all over the podcast. We might be applying for that thing, and we just lost our shot at
not entirely, but it's
oh, nobody listens to this, no word to know.
Fortunately, one of the things I've always loved about Star Wars Report is that through everything, people are very realistic but overwhelmingly positive. I don't think anybody's going to give them a golden ticket on any mistakes they make, but on everything that's up in the air, which seems to be the entire Star Wars universe right now, I think Star Wars Report has been a pretty hopeful and looking forward to it mentality, rather than a doom and gloom mentality that you see so often out
Well,
there.
And I will say this. I mean, I can certainly, you want this to be a best face forward, representing people who represent the community well. And like, there were things like they wanted to be family friendly, which I perfectly agree with on that note.
Yeah, so it's a very good idea. And it is approached with the right mentality. But
sure. I was just laughing.
One thing that bugged me was the use of podcast episodes and broadcast interchangeably.
That's true. That was like,
if you're listening to a podcast, that is.
Well, now that Bethany's going to break down what podcast means now.
a podcast is essentially a show. A broadcast can be something that you broadcast live.
It's a verb. Yes. You can broadcast a podcast.
Your podcast episode live.
Should we clip out this audio portion and send it into Lucas in the application, like a little attachment, and say, "Oh, by the way."
No, would be way too snarky.
I'll tell you.
But to say I'm listening to a podcast, that means I'm listening to a show. But if I want to reference a specific episode, I would say I'm listening to podcast episode number 138 of the Star Wars Report. I wouldn't say I'm listening to podcast 138 of the Star Wars Report. That's improper verbiage.
That would be a lot of podcasts. Now, there are a lot of Star Wars podcasts here on the network.
So if you ask me, Bethany, what is your favorite podcast? I won't answer, it's episode 138 of the Star Wars Report.
Now we're getting nitty and gritty. The appropriate answer, there's so many great podcasts, all of which can be found at starwarsreport.com/about. You'll find a great selection of Expanded Universe books and Rebels podcasts. That's starwarsreport.com/about.
Sounds like you've said that before once or twice.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's totally just came to my mind. You know, just sudden inspiration, sir. No, I'll tell you what. Now we're 12 minutes in, and we're on a roll, guys. I want to bring in some news that's broken. Even there was some breaking news today that I want to talk about for this episode, Mitchell, that I want to bring you in on. Let's see. What's the first one? This one's a few days old, but let's bring it. Things are getting back into the swing of things. As we record this, it is August 12th, and the hiatus, the filming hiatus, is evidently over. This is from that reputable paragon of virtuous journalism, the Daily Mail. back to London, Han Solo, Star Wars, Harrison Ford. This just sounds like SEO keywords. I just realized that I started reading this headline. Okay, I'm just going to read the headline straight through. Back to London, Han Solo, Star Wars, Harrison Ford, 72, looks great after injury as he boards private jet in Southern California. All right, the last half was better than the first half. That's a lot of keywords. They know what they're doing at the Daily Mail, but no, they basically it's a shot. Harrison's looking peachy, out in the California sun,
and he's walking on two legs.
Absolutely, yeah.
Without any crutches.
No robotic leg devices.
I know. In fact, I mean, down to the skinny jeans. Like, he's rocking the skinny jeans, and he's ready to roll. I think The
By the way, anyone who can pull
were,
off skinny jeans at 72.
I want to look as good in skinny jeans at 73 now, I think it is. It may be 72. No, yeah, 72 because it's in the headline. Just right. Come on, Riley.
Maybe this isn't the kind of thing we should be talking about if we want to be a positive influence.
Oh, wait.
We talk about Harrison Ford's skinny
Harrison
jeans.
Ford, Harrison Ford's looking great and truly professional as he gets ready
when
to film what I'm sure will be the greatest.
Reach.
The greatest Star Wars film to date, absolutely, as we look forward to the amazing experience that will be episode 7, by the way, Lucasfilm, as we apply for our podcast day to celebration. Looking great, guys. Looking great.
Looking snazzy.
I hope
Riley,
there's part
how,
of me that
did,
hopes
did you
that,
drink like a did you drink a lot of coffee or something?
No,
today?
No. I will say yeah, how dare you blame this on a caffeine high? No. I really, part of me hopes that like there is a curt email from somebody at Lucasfilm, but I doubt it. Like, all right, guys. No, Harrison Ford, and on the more serious side, it did seem like it could be a very rough injury, and I was frankly worried about it, especially in those early on headlines, but does, you know, he's looking good. He's getting ready to get back in the swing of things, and get after Peter Mayhew about that life debt again. So there we go.
Yeah. Mm. He's almost looking a little too good, right? You know, I want him to be my little swashbuckler. I know he married a princess and he's probably living the royal life, but let's hope those makeup people can have him looking a little bit more swashbuckly, a little more tired out and over the hill. It's kind of what I want to see of Han Solo. I almost want to see a grumpy old man Han for the next movies.
You
want to
see kind of that just totally blanked. You want to see a more grizzled Han Solo. You want to see a little bit more of an Owen Lars.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
That wizard is just a crazy old man. Can you imagine him saying that about Luke?
These hokey religions. Now my whole life is taken up by him.
Yeah, it's actually that would be what was that film? Oh, Ender's Game. He was pretty kind of gruff and grouchy in that film too. That's kind of what I pictured him as.
Yeah, I would love to see, well, obviously not part of the straight edge military, but the same sense of, you know, old man grumpy that came across there would be perfect.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that would be cool. I'll tell you what. So you guys remember this robotic hand rumor?
No, actually, wait 1 second. Just a quick thought. Sorry, Riley. I know I totally derailed you there.
It was the perfect segue. It was so subtle.
But Mitchell said something that sparked a thought. You said, you know, well, maybe not the straight-edge military type. And I agree with you. That's not really how I think of Han, either in my own imagination or in the Legends universe. But Han was, what was his rank?
He was a general, I think, by the end of it.
Yeah, he was a general by Return of the
general.
Jedi. I would be very curious see if Han Solo kind of carried on with the military type.
General Jar Jar. Sorry.
I would be curious to see if Han Solo continued on with a military career after Return of the Jedi in Episode 7. I don't think it's highly likely, but I would be curious.
Well, you know, it could. It depends. I would say it probably depends on the status of the Rebel Alliance. You know,
yeah.
He did lead the command force on Endor. He was a general. I think he would always do it as Han Solo. I don't picture him putting on a uniform. I picture him yelling at cadets from his same old vest and holster getup. You know, I don't picture him shaving his head and putting on a uniform, but he could be a great leader. People want to follow him, and he certainly has the expertise and the wild gambits and the stories. He'd be a legend within the military.
Yeah, and he does kind of have that inner quality of an iron fist. Speaking of iron fists, you guys remember this robotic
that was
rumor?
I will hand it over to Riley. Move into that transition.
There we go. How's that, ladies?
And now to hand it over to Riley.
Okay, let's not get too mechanical with this.
That's it. Goodness. We're done. It's a 17-minute episode. Sorry, guys. We're done. That's you can't top that. No, actually. You guys remember this rumor? The idea of the okay, now I guess this is where this is kind of more plot spoilery rumors ish thing, if possibly true. I hope not. Don't think so. But on the episode back when Father Roderick was on the episode on the podcast, not to be confused with broadcast or episode, We talked about this rumor that the opening shot of episode 7 is going to be the severed hand. The severed hand of Skywalker. I don't know why I said it like that, but it just felt right. Floating across the screen after the letters float away, and it's just a mechanical hand and the lightsaber. And I just remember, because there were some pretty serious rumor sites and news sites that were confirming this. So, I mean, most people fall into the camp of it's true or it's a plant. Most people are pretty convinced it isn't just a wild, wild rumor, but basically... Mm-hmm. So you guys remember the UNICEF video with the J.J. Abrams and the X-Wing? And you know, hey, this is J.J. Abrams, and I'm standing next to an X-Wing. Here's a X-Wing pilot. Here's a mouse droid. And oh, by the way, also, there's a charity thing. I don't remember anything about the charity thing, though.
There was a charity thing?
Wait, what?
There was a charity thing and J.J. Abrams?
Well, evidently this charity thing that almost no one noticed in their excitement for episode 7 still managed to raise over $5 million. So that's pretty cool for UNICEF. Indeed. as Omaze announced their winner for the Omaze giveaway, and they raised tons of money. The interesting thing is that on that same letterhead that we saw please stop posting these pictures with ridiculous claims like the Millennium Falcon is going to be in the movie. And of course, remember that it's on the chess set. Now in his on similar letterhead from J.J. Abrams in Sharpie marker, it says, "Huge thanks to everyone who contributed to Star Wars Force for Change. Over $5 million was raised to help UNICEF and Innovation Labs, and we are so grateful." Anyways, see you on set, J.J., to the gentleman who won. Now, the thing that's clutching this note is a mechanical hand. At which point, now J.J. Abrams, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to announce to the world, if you didn't realize it already, J.J. Abrams is screwing with you if you're a Star Wars fan. He is indeed. Okay, so this escalates that. It has to either be a plant or true. Because obviously the Millennium Falcon thing's true, because you can't really hide a giant YT-1000 freighter that they've built in actual size. But so if you follow that logic, maybe this is true. Maybe this is the mechanical hand. The hand of Skywalker! Again, it just felt right. So there you go. I mean, this is straight from making Star Wars. Actually, I'll read from the article. So, of course, Jason Ward from MakingStarWars.net, great site. Says, after weeks of discussion about a certain rumor, I find this robotic hand photo to be interesting. That'd be an understatement, Mr. Ward. The background doesn't look unlike the location of the recent shoot at Skellig Michael in Ireland. I always confuse my Irish and Scottish. That's okay. All right. That consists of Mark Hamill's Luke Skywalker and Daisy Ridley as in her unknown to be revealed character. And that would imply it is Luke Skywalker's hand if this is the case. Perhaps this is the replacement hand Luke Skywalker has after losing his original hand at the start of the film. Could it be? Or is it just J.J. Abrams screwing with us? No, he says, or it could just be a droid's hand. Either way, as J.J. Abrams' note states, we did a great job supporting UNICEF. And there's one lucky guy named D.C. Barnes from the Midwest who is going to be in episode 7. And I am not at all jealous, and I am also a liar.
I think we're all pretty jealous on that one.
Yep. Great slideshow also on the article of the kind of different incarnations of mechanical hands. So, I don't know. Thoughts, guys? Is he messing with us? Is it true?
It looks very...
Is it a plant?
It looks very mechanical to be a human prosthetic, honestly.
Think so? Mm-hmm. Well, because his all right. Well, back to Jedi. If it's that hand, he was always wearing a black glove over it. And so, the only time you see it was when it got shot at Jabba's palace.
Can you see a black glove fitting tightly over this?
Sure.
Well, and Anakin kept his hand pretty metallic, right? He never had the synthetic skin on it, did he?
That's true. Anakin did have the benefit of the technology of of better CGI that kept his hand much more mechanical. But the cell barge fight where you see Luke's hand get shot, but he's okay because it's mechanical. And it's like that moment when you see the film, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. He has a mechanical hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess to me, because it looks like there are little pieces of wire and stuff that are exposed, that makes me feel like it's unfinished.
Or a droid.
Yeah, that's kind of why it does not look as sleek as, say, the Episode 3 Anakin hand.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, I mean, again, I guess it just remains to be seen. We're going to skip the Rebel story. We will talk about it. They're releasing these series of shorts. Maybe once they're all out, we can review them. But they're actually separate from the show itself. So hopefully as they do that. But I do want to mention, actually, Bethany, you wanted to mention a couple things that have been going over at StarWarsReport.com before we finish out the news.
Yes, I did want to mention that most of us from the Star Wars Report are writing pretty regularly over at the StarWarsReport.com/category/blog.
Mm-hmm.
So the Star Wars Report blog has been pretty active recently, and that's smaller news posts that go up, but also more in-depth, opinion posts and posts that explore just different concepts about Star Wars. For instance, Mark wrote one about the expanded universe becoming a separate universe a while back and becoming legends. And Aaron Goins recently wrote one about the essential Quinlan Vos comics, which has almost convinced me to start reading those comics. Aaron, I don't know how you did it, but I'm on the edge.
Yeah, no, and I'm posting, when I get time, I'm posting the news and rumors, or at least the more significant ones that I find interesting up there as well. So.
Yeah. Pete Morrison from Rebels Report recently wrote three Star Wars characters I have an irrational love for, and it included, I have no idea how the name is pronounced, but Cave from A New Hope, the tiny little creature that I always thought was adorably cute that reached for some sort of drink in the cantina. Tiny little black eyes, you know, and a snub nose, very adorable. But Miss Mitchell, you also wrote one somewhat recently, the Why Star Wars Legends Still Matters, which I definitely think it does.
I definitely think so. I mean, these are great novels, great books. They may be tangential to what they call the Star Wars canon now, but it doesn't change the fact that they're great, you know, works, great books, most of them at least. And that they have just a great internal canon and story, whether or not they're part of the overall official quote-unquote Star Wars canon. Sure, maybe now that's up for debate. But their internal canon is still pretty great. They kept most things pretty tight. And, you know, that was the point I was trying to make is, you know, these are still great books. If you've invested time in them, I don't think it was time wasted. And if you're looking for something to fill the time before the new set of books creates a new great big universe that we can fall in love with, you know, here's a great opportunity to get caught up on Legends.
Yeah. And we have some more, not necessarily how-to, but bits of advice for readers. Teresa wrote a top 5 Star Wars Instagrams to follow. And I recently wrote a trailer review for Star Wars Rebels. And one of my most interesting thoughts when looking more carefully through that trailer was how dark the Rebels series has the potential to be with the time period that it's set in, the fact that they're basically rebels on the run for their very lives, fighting a guerrilla warfare against the Empire. So we will see if Rebels continues the kind of dark trend that the Clone Wars took on towards the end.
We shall see indeed. Such things can all be found at StarWarsReport.com, and you can just click on the blog and it's there. So it's a kind of we don't have a spot for this particular episode, but as of yet, but I did want to mention some of the in-house stuff we're doing, so it gives us a chance to kind of feature some of the great work that folks are doing. Again, the blog can be found at StarWarsReport.com, so can all of our Second Airborne Division podcasts. You've got Beyond the Films, The Wampa's Lair, Star Wars Bookworms, the Rebels Roundtable, and of course this here podcast, The Star Wars Report. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, that puts the wraps on the book. I always gotta think of a good phrase for that. But that's the end. That caps the bottle.
It's the end of the podcast, Riley.
Concludes and finishes. It turns the page and hits the can. All right. We're done. We're done. That's the Star Wars Report podcast. A shorter episode, but Mitchell, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. And besides your fine work as a writer, as a staff writer for us here at the Star Wars Report, what can folks find you doing on ye old internets that you'd like to see them see?
Well, I don't do too much, but I do have a little tiny, teeny, tiny YouTube channel. I've got a couple of Star Wars parodies that I'm pretty proud of that are up there. So I think it's youtube.com/mhannan, M-H-A-N-A-N. But probably the easier thing to do would be to just look up I Love Han Solo or Call Me Jedi, two parodies that I made that... I hope people get a kick out of them.
There you go. And we appreciate you and all the work you've done with us here at Star Wars Report, and certainly look forward to continuing to work with you in the future. More news is always breaking, so stay tuned to StarWarsReport.com, and be sure to be subscribed to this podcast. If you're just hearing us or trying us out, make sure you go to the show notes at StarWarsReport.com. You'll see ways to subscribe to the show. Super easy way to do that is StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Which is a link that I set up that you can basically just go straight to that URL, starwarsreport.com/iTunes, and that takes you straight to our iTunes page. That's where you can subscribe to us with any Apple device you have, and go ahead and leave us a rating or review. It really helps out the show, and lets more folks know about it, and we really do appreciate those. We've had a few more come in, and that's always much appreciated, and it's a great way to give us feedback on what you want to hear as far as the show goes, because we're here for you, the listener. Hey, email us. Shoot us an email at starwarsreport@gmail.com. We're getting ready, like tomorrow or the next day, where we're going to be recording a feedback episode. But we're always looking for emails, and that's the best way to hit us up. Also, you want to make sure you're going to facebook.com/starwarsreport and twitter.com/starwarsreport, where we're always interacting with folks, having a good time there. So last thing I want to leave you guys with is our personal accounts, because I realize we don't plug them often enough. But Bethany and I are always tweeting our everyday lives. So if you're interested in our commentary and our kind of social lives and what we share on the old internets beyond just Star Wars, whether it's ROTC stuff and college stuff and work projects and Lord of the Rings stuff and Hobbit stuff, and of course a lot of Star Wars stuff, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at the Riley Guy, and Bethany's at Bethany L. Blanton. That'll put the wraps on it. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Whew. I was cutting close there. Good. I was looking at the thing. I was like, oh, I got to speed up the plug, sir. Speed it up. Oh, man, we gotta get set up for the next one. But I'll tell you what, Mitchell, it was an absolute pleasure. It was a great time.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a blast.
Thank you for coming on.